Ben.
What created everything in my education?
Oh, Shalom Saints, God bless. I think we probably just booted out of Kahoot for a second. Give me a second to get it running again. We had some good old technical, interesting things taking place. So, sorry, just 1 second. God bless each and everyone. Welcome to our Bible study once again this evening. Let me just log back into Kahoot and start us off. We may have to put a new number on there. I'll give it to you now once the technology catches up with us. Our preparation. Okay. And we are gonna start that one there. Okay, so if I share my screen, you should be able to see the pin then. Well, I'll put it onto the forum as well. Okay, we're going into classic mode, loading game pin. It's going to give us a new pin here. Yep, so I'll quickly put that onto the forum as well. Copy that. Okay, so there's a new pin. Sorry about that. I went out of Kahoot by mistake. So I'm going to put this one on the youth and Message Dublin and so forth. And then we can get ourselves started. So here's the new pin. There you go. And Carlo Believers can have the new pin. And DCF Youth can have it. And Message Dublin. And that should be us. Okay, sorry about that. But that's the pin that we're using this evening. Okay, so if anybody who's was on the old one, just come out of it and link up again, please, with this pin, and then we should see people starting to come up. And I'll share my screen here as well. So, share screen. Okay, so people are starting to come up. So God bless each and everyone. We're having a look this evening at the power of preparation. And I thought, I do apologize to Brother George, Brother Sasha, we did change the title during the day. We were going to start looking at just the greatest battle ever fought, but then we narrowed it down a little bit from there. And we've brought ourselves to this thought of the power of preparation. And it's with the youth camp in mind next week, just about preparation. So as everybody links up there, God bless each and everyone who is linking. Okay. So we've got quite a good turnout there. God bless you, saints. I'm just waiting a second for everyone to get themselves in there. 16 people, that's really good. Okay, beans on toast. We've got some interesting. Okay. Just waiting a second to see if there's anybody else. Otherwise, we'll get ourselves started. People can join themselves up.
Who put it? Someone. It's not me. Hey. So, nobody put it my name, but it's not me. This is Ingrid of the first. No, Rachel. No.
No, this is out.
Who put it my name?
Okay, since we're going to start off here.
It's not me. Okay. So much better.
Okay, so we're looking at the
What's
power of
wrong with the
preparation.
speaker?
That's
Dear
our
speaker,
Bible study this evening.
where is the speaker? This one?
Okay,
The
so.
speakers are up there. Goodness sake. I don't know.
Okay, once those guys find their speakers, we should be fine. Okay. Okay. Let's just have a word of prayer before we start. Father, you know our thought behind this. You know our desire, Lord, as we look to thee upon this evening, praying for your grace, praying for your mercy. Lord, we can put things together, but it's only you that can get into things, and Father, can make them life unto us, that can make a difference to us. And that's what we're looking for, Lord. May we shut in with you. May you help us upon this evening, Lord. Help us just to focus on you and guide us in the way that you'd have us to be. Bless all your people, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Okay, saints, I'm just going to mute some people here. Okay, saints, God bless you. We're going to get started. So we're looking at power in preparation. So our thought on this one here is we're preparing for the camp. I'm going to just put the next slide here. Here, I just have to move that out of the way so that we can get our scripture. So our scripture we're looking at is Luke 3 from 21 up to 22. It says, now, when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized, and so Jesus also being baptized and praying, the heaven was opened. Next one then says, once we can get to it. Okay. And the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven which said, thou art my beloved Son, in thee am I well pleased. So we know this. This is the beginning of Jesus' ministry. And here Jesus is being equipped. We've been looking at being equipped, putting on the whole armor of God, the spiritual preparation that we need to prevail and overcome in this day. And here's Jesus right at the very beginning of his ministry. Imagine him. Jesus is God as a man, and he's not going to go out to meet the temptation of the devil, the trials of ministry and so forth, until he's first spiritually ready, spiritually prepared, until he's been spiritually equipped, until he puts on this armor, because he knows he's going into a battlefield. There's going to be a great spiritual battle. It's going to manifest itself in so many ways in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why he himself, setting the example for us, he goes to the waters of baptism, and then he's baptized with the Holy Ghost, and now he's equipped. Now, if you think of navigating your soul, somebody's soul, from the time when you give your life to the Lord, imagine the great spiritual forces that are against us, all the potential, all the temptations, all the wickedness that Satan has, and all the demon-possessed people and people influenced by evil, every single one of which, you know, so many people are against the very thing that you and I believe in. You can imagine just how hostile the spiritual environment is against a believer. If it wasn't for the Lord strengthening us, the Lord being with us, the angel of the Lord encamping around us, we'd very easily be overcome. We would never get very far. Yeah, and I just put this picture here. This picture is taken from the Prince of Egypt, and that's Moses in the basket going down the Nile. And if ever you watch it, it's very interesting because there's hippos and crocodiles and boats and all that. And, you know, there's got to be some spiritual something, some unseen hand, some spiritual eye guiding him through all of these obstacles. And if I just said it, that, you know, the miracle of your soul coming through from when you're born again right to the end of this journey is a far greater miracle than that basket safely navigating down the Nile. You're going to need far more supernatural. You're going to need the Lord watching over you and protecting you and guiding you. And you're going to need so much inside of your life as a believer from the beginning to the end so that your soul safely comes through. So what are we going to need? We're going to need spiritual reality, spiritual, something spiritual inside our lives, the reality of God inside of our lives. Otherwise, I don't think that we have too much chance of getting very far. I put the quote there by Bartleman, every movement of the Spirit of God must also run the gauntlet of the devil's forces. You know, so any move of God, when God starts moving in your life, at first as a believer, when he starts reviving you, when he starts working in a church, there's got to be a counterattack. I mean, Satan's got to do whatever that he can to stop that move, that work of God in its infancy. So there's going to always be this spiritual resistance. And if you don't have a spiritual life that's real, you're going to find this is going to weigh you down, and you're never, ever going to make it all the way through. So we're looking at being prepared for battle. Here's Jesus. So he comes from being baptized in the Jordan, and now he goes straight into the spiritual battle. He goes out into the wilderness. So how exactly did Jesus prepare for this great battle? Yeah, let's really get an example from him before he goes into this threefold temptation. He's tempted in every way, yet without sin. He, the great overcomer, is showing us how we can overcome. Now, that's really, really what you wanted to have a look at here. How did he prepare himself? Because Jesus is our great example. He's not only our Lord and our Savior who died for us, who became a man to die for us, but he also became a man, stripped himself of his deity, became a man to show us how we can overcome. So he was the first true overcomer. He overcame in every aspect of the battle. Now, We're going to need to be in him. We're going to need his grace. We're going to need his mercy. But he sets us the footprints to follow and shows us the principles of how we can also overcome. Now, this question, sorry, I wish I could go back and put the one on too quickly. Okay, when all the people were baptized, it came to pass Jesus also being baptized, and what? The heaven was opened. Can you remember the previous scripture? Jesus also being baptized, and what? The heaven was opened. What did that scripture say? Jesus being baptized, and what? What was it? Now, we read the scripture there. It's something which we don't notice, and that's why I put this question in here. It's very easy for us not to notice what the word was. Yes, somebody got it. The answer was praying. I think people, most of us never noticed that. The Bible actually says Jesus also being baptized and praying, the heaven was open. So as we're looking at how can we be equipped with this armor? How can we get ready for this great spiritual battle? How can we prepare ourselves for what lays before us? The very first thing we need to look at is the power of prayer. Is this preparation through prayer? And you'll see there's this one characteristic of the life of Jesus, which you're going to see if everybody who reads the gospel is going to see it, is Jesus was a man of prayer. I don't think any of us could ever doubt that. Now, we often, if you read it, you found about him praying, and the Bible shows us so many examples of him praying, and we don't really need anybody to show us that. We know that he must have been a man of prayer because his works were the works that only a prayerful person could do. And his words were only the words that could come from somebody who was prayerful. You know, you could see he would commune in heavenly places. There was that spiritual dimension in everything that he did. It wasn't just flesh and blood. Jesus was very, very prayerful. He was a praying man. And you just see in the Bible some of the seasons and times where it mentions Jesus being in prayer. And I've just taken a few examples of this so we can see that every single time the scripture points to us about Jesus having special time of prayer, it's before there's some great work that he needs to do or before there's some great suffering he needs to go through. So he knew, Jesus, how very important prayer was in preparation for battle, preparation for anything. When he was being called to a greater service, he had to call his disciples, whatever that it was, you'd find he'd spend the whole night in prayer. And when he's being called now to temptation, you find he's being prayerful. And we saw it there. When he's going to be baptized, he's in prayer. He's very prayerful before he goes to the waters of baptism. He was always prayerful. But more so when there's going to come something to tempt him in his manhood, because Jesus has his the Godhead, but he's humbled himself. He's stripped himself of his power so he can face up to temptation exactly the same as us. So he can be our great representative. And whenever the challenge would come against his manhood, either in decisions he need to make to walk with his father, to extend the kingdom, to further the cause, or when there was going to be conflict or suffering, you'd find Jesus would never enter into those things without special prayer. Though he was always prayerful, but this was special prayer. And you can find this in other examples in the Bible as well. But I think we'll just keep it on Jesus there at the moment. We can see he really, really was very, very prayerful. So you see, maybe just on this one of his baptism, when he's baptized, he's very prayerful. And I think this is the reason why there's baptism and there's baptism, you know, one in inverted commas. Many, many people go to the waters of baptism and there's never any real change. Nothing ever really happens to them. But you look at Jesus when he was baptized, what happened? The heaven was opened. The Holy Ghost came down like a dove. There was a voice from heaven. There was a divine response. God said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." Jesus knew something had happened. He had been clothed. Something was different. You know, and that's why people sometimes we get into spiritual things and we don't benefit spiritually, you know, because we haven't entered into it having prepared ourselves properly. And Jesus is showing us the way that it's impossible to prepare yourself for anything spiritual, whether conflict, whether services, you know, going out to whatever you want, the Lord's calling you to do. Without prayer, it's impossible to be properly prepared. Yeah, and that's why I thought it was very important for us to look at this evening, because I know many, many people, they come to conventions, they come to services, and they haven't been praying for days before that. And they somehow think that the magic wand is going to be waved, and the song leader is going to, you know, do it all for them, and the minister is going to preach them into the spirit. And you find it's not an easy thing. You're going to have to battle through a lot of heaviness. You're going to have to battle through a lot of opposition, mind games, and all these kind of things before you get into heavenly places. And the sad thing is trying to do that when you're at the camp. These are the battles we should be winning before we get to the camp. You know, we should be praying through. We should be breaking through. So by the time we get to the camp, we're already in fellowship with the Lord. So by the time the song worship comes, you know, we're in the place where the Lord really wants us to be so he can do something for us. And the same, like I say, with water baptism, anything we do for the Lord. Okay, sorry, we don't really want the scoreboard. I like this quote by Spurgeon. He says, "The Lord prepares his people for battle before he calls them to it." So Jesus, before he's been called to go out into the wilderness to overcome the devil, the Lord calls him apart and says, "You need to be prepared for this. You need to be prayerful. You need to be obedient to the word. You need to be baptized. And then I'm going to clothe you. I'm going to prepare you for the battle." And you find inside of your life, if you are sincere and you are genuine and you are able to hear from God, be led by the Spirit in the simplicity of the Christian life, you're going to find that every single time you've been into battle, if you look before that, the Lord was preparing you for that. Because he doesn't want to put upon you anything more than you're able to bear. But you as his child, he wants to prepare you for battle. And like we say, the youth camp is the Lord's way of equipping us for the battles beyond the youth camp. But we need to prepare ourselves so that the Lord can work in us that which he wants to work in us during the youth camp, so we will be equipped by the time we come to the end of the camp. So that needs preparation. Now, the Lord doesn't do the preparation for us. He gives us all the resources that we need. He gives us all the encouragement that we need. But it's a very individual thing. Every single one of us individually have to prepare ourselves. Yeah, no one can prepare themselves for you. You know, you have to prepare yourselves individually for this battle. So the Lord prepares his people for battle before he calls them to it. And I'll give an example here. There at the top is Matthew chapter 3, Jesus being baptized. Immediately after that, you get to Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. You know, so there's the preparation. There's the spiritual clothing, there's the voice from heaven, there's the encouragement, there's the quickening and the strengthening coming into Jesus, and then he's led of the Spirit. Now the Lord knows, now I can lead my son into conflict because he's prepared for this battle. And the Spirit now leads him into the wilderness confidently now, knowing he can withstand because he's been clothed. Now, Jesus never clothed himself, but Jesus prepared himself. And God responded to that and sent down the Holy Ghost and spoke to him and all those kind of things that we see. You know, so whenever there's the right preparation, there's always going to be a divine response. When you prepare yourself properly for the camp, there's going to come a divine response. God is going to meet you there. When Elijah went up on the mountain, put the things in order, prepared the sacrifice according to the word of the Lord, did everything God wanted him to do, the fire fell from heaven upon that sacrifice. And God's nature is to respond whenever a people are seeking to prepare themselves for service. God will help you and God will reward you for that. Now, there's three times you'll find in the Bible where it says that God spoke audibly to Jesus. There's three times. And on each of those three occasions, baptism being one of them, Jesus either was in the act of praying or had just been praying shortly before that. Yeah, so you can see there's such a link for the Lord to speak to you, for the Lord to make himself more real to you. It's so much linked to your prayer life. It's so much linked to how prayerful that you're going to be. And for the Lord to speak to each and every one of us at this camp, it's going to be directly related to how much time we pray and how much time we prepare ourselves between now and the camp. Now, there's a perfect correlation here. You can never break this link. You know, a prayerful life is a life that God can speak to. that the Holy Ghost can descend upon, that God can reward and, you know, and can vindicate and respond to that kind of a life. But a prayerless life, as we'll see, it's very difficult for God to bless it because there's nothing really to commend in it. So he doesn't normally pour out much spiritual blessing upon it. So Jesus now, each time he prepares himself, commits himself, you know, he's in prayerful, you always find there's a divine response. And that's really what we're desiring as we come to the camp as well. Okay. Let's move on to the next point. I'll actually put that quote on there. I liked here. I just put earnestness. Martin Luther said, to be a Christian without prayer is no more possible than to be alive without breathing. You know, it's so very, very true. Prayer is so important. I put earnestness. How much you desire a divine response at the youth camp will be reflected in your prayer life between now and then. So your desire to hear from God, your desire to meet with the Lord, your desire to go on further in your Christian life, your desire to be delivered from your temptations and, you know, to have more of a spiritual experience, that desire, the depth of that desire is going to be directly related to how you prepare yourself for the camp. And God will always respond whenever people set themselves to seek the Lord. And that's just what you're trying to encourage people to do this evening. Okay. James 4:8 says, draw nigh unto God and he'll draw nigh unto you. You know, so the Lord will help you, give you all the resources, but he wants you to draw near to him. And he's promised if you draw near to him, he's going to draw near to you. He will do it every single time. Okay, we're going to ask a question here now. Like I say, saints, nobody's looking at these answers behind the scenes. Just answer it honestly. It's just to give us a good idea. But, okay, sorry, before we get to it, I didn't realize we had one more quote. The Holy Ghost never sets his seal to a prayerless life. You're going to have a look inside of your life. When have you ever been in the Spirit and received something from the Lord? You've always had been in a prayerful kind of a condition. When you go days without prayer, you're going to go days without the Lord's blessing, days without revelation, days without the quickening power inside of your life. I think you will realize this, that God cannot say amen to a prayerless life. And Jesus came as the supreme example. Though he was God, but he showed us that in order to stay in fellowship with his Father and receive spiritual blessing and progress onwards in his calling, he had to remain prayerful, though he was God. Okay, here's a poll. How much time do you spend in prayer per week? Answer honestly, we're not worrying about these answers. I just want to see. Less than 15 minutes, 15 to 60 minutes, 1 to 2 hours, more than 2 hours. Answer honestly on this one here, just so we can see. How much time do we spend in prayer per week? Okay, so less than 15 minutes, about a quarter of the people. 15 to 60 minutes, that would be a big group of people there. 1 to 2 hours, now you're getting into people that really do pray a lot. 18% and more than 2 hours. That's really good. That's very encouraging. 24%, more than 2 hours a day. That's great. You know, that's really putting yourself before the Lord in prayer. Because if you take a week, 7 days, 2 hours, I mean, if you're putting in a good 20 minutes a day, you're doing very, very well. And may the Lord bless. That's encouraging. Okay, one more poll here. A word cloud. What word comes to mind when you hear the word prayer? What straight away comes into your mind when you hear about prayer? If you want to put more than one word, put it, comma, something else. But when you think of prayer, what do you think of? It's just interesting, just on the spot. What would you think of when you think of prayer? Okay, let's see what comes up. Connection with God, absolutely, that's a good one. Wrestling, yes, prayer can be wrestling sometimes. We don't want it always to be wrestling, but it can definitely be. An answer, yes, God answers prayer. Worship, communion, communication with God, that's like connection, communion, communication, that's the key. God, absolutely, talking with the Lord, on our knees, whispering, good. Talking to God, closer walk, conversation, talking, peace. That's great. So you can see people ready to understand the great principles behind prayer, because all of these things are included. Sometimes you're going to have to wrestle. Sometimes it's the sweet communion, the peace. Sometimes it's conversation. Sometimes you're on your knees whispering, but you're in fellowship, you're in communion with the Lord. And that's a really blessed thing. Now let's look at Jesus and prayer once again. Sorry, I think I forget about this. It came to pass about an 8 days after these sayings, he took who and went up into a mountain to pray. Who did Jesus take up in the mountain to pray? Is it his disciples? Is it Peter and Andrew, Peter, James, and John, or James and John? It's Bible study, so we're just learning, saints. Yes, he took Peter, James, and John. So this is another example we're going to see. What does it say? It says it came to pass about 8 days after these sayings, he took Peter, James, and John and went up into a mountain to pray. So here's another example with the Bible showing us Jesus taking disciples to pray. Now, this is a wonderful thing. This is like brethren teaming up in prayer. I know our young people have been meeting in the mornings. I'm not sure if it's continuing on in the school holidays, but it's a great thing to do, to be encouraging each other, even if you're not physically together in the same location, but to be spiritually joined together, even if it's on Zoom, if it's on WhatsApp, whatever forum that we use, to wake people up or meet people online, even if it is at certain times of the day, so that you can unite yourselves together in reading the word and praying. It's such a blessed thing. And you see Jesus taking his disciples up into a mountain to pray together with them. Now, just to the young ones that have been meeting in the morning, I'll quote you Galatians 6, verse 9. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. You never get tired of doing that. It's a wonderful thing, and God will reward you if you continue on doing that. You'll see. I already see it in the lives of some of the young people that have been getting up early in the morning. You see their prayers are so much deeper and more rich than they used to be. It's a great, great, great thing to see, because God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So here's Jesus up in the mountain. He takes his disciples and look up to pray. What happens next? As he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered and his raiment was white and glistening. So there was a power of transformation. Jesus was changed. He broke into the spirit of prayer and he really got himself into the glory. And even his face, his countenance changed and his raiment started to shine. Yeah, and he has something really happening while he's praying. And what happens next? Quiz. And behold, there talked with him two men, which were who and who? Michael and Gabriel, Moses and Elijah, Moses and Enoch, Ananias and Sapphira. Who was speaking with Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration? You don't know, it's okay. That's what we're doing it for. Moses and Elijah. Yes. So imagine what's going on. I mean, the Bible puts this to show us there's something very spiritual going on up there. You know, so Moses and Elijah, he's fellowshipping with them. And it says about them, it says Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. So imagine Jesus is facing up now to Gethsemane. He's facing up to this great conflict. He's facing up to going to Calvary to die for us, to be judged and punished for us. And he goes up to pray before that. And, you know, he gets transformed in his prayer. And he breaks into heavenly places. Moses and Elijah come and they start to fellowship with him about his death. And Moses maybe is speaking to him about, yes, you are the Passover lamb. You know, when we had the Passover that time, but I know you are the real Passover lamb. It's your blood that'll take away the sins of the world. Remove the death angel from your people. And then Elijah now is encouraging him, speaking about his death. Imagine the encouragement, the strength, the quickening that he got from that fellowship when he was prayerful. And now he starts getting into the glory and the Lord starts to, You know, the Moses and Elijah start speaking to him. And it says, while he thus spake, there came a cloud and overshadowed them. Wow. Here comes the glory, the Shekinah glory. The glory of God comes down while they're praying and overshadows them. Can you see how, what prayer can be? You may not see the glory, but when you pray generally from your heart, a season of prayer, or maybe just building up, like Brother George was saying at the last youth meeting, building up day by day. If you feel, but I'm not in the spirit of prayer, I know I'm not prayerful coming into the camp, it's okay. Just, you know, go and pray 1 minute before you sleep. And then tomorrow in the morning, try to pray for 2 minutes. Just pray earnestly. And then at lunchtime, or when you get a chance in the middle of the day, go and pray 5 minutes. And then when you get another chance, go and pray again. And you'll soon start getting in the spirit of prayer. And as you continue on yielding yourself, and the Lord now rewards you and is encouraging you in prayer, you start getting more and more into the spiritual realm. And you may not see the glory around you, but God's glory, his presence will start coming to quicken you in your prayer. And you just keep on going and you can break into great things, places of revelation, places of visions and gifts and spiritual things. Like Jesus, they break in, into a realm where Moses and Elijah come to speak to him and strengthen him before this, the greatest of conflicts. This is real fellowship in heavenly places. And then what happens next? Yeah. The cloud comes down. There's a divine response once again when Jesus is praying. You know, heaven comes down when Jesus is praying. And that's what we want. We want heaven to come down at the camp. So we really want to pray the blessing down. Really want to pray the glory down. Yeah, and the fellowship you'd have one with another. Yeah, instead of fellowshipping around other things at a season like this, try to get your fellowship more on spiritual things and heavenly places to be encouraging one another in preparation and in expectation for the camp, and God will bless you. And you'll see there'll be a great difference when you get there. The very atmosphere, as soon as we start, will be a tremendous atmosphere that God can do great things. And God responded. It says the next verse, and there came a voice out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved son, hear him. Wow. Imagine how encouraging that was for Jesus. Judas is betraying him here. He knows Jesus knows his disciples are going to depart from him. The Sanhedrin council is really plotting to put him to death. So much outwardly is negative and discouraging. So what does he do? He takes it to pray. And now he breaks into a realm. He's fellowshipping in heavenly places. And here comes the Lord, speaks to him and says, you are my beloved son. My, what more can strengthen you and help you to prepare for battle than for God to speak to you? Our friends, don't you want the Lord to speak to you even before the camp? Don't you want the Lord to prepare your heart? Maybe you'll be in prayer and the Lord will speak to you and lay somebody else upon you, or some young person that doesn't want to come. And you will get really in prayer for them. And then they'll go and speak to their parents and say, I don't know why, but I really want to go to the camp. Yeah, saints, for those kind of things, we'll always squeeze another person in. You know, we never have, we're not like the days of Noah where the door's closed and never opens again. You know, we can always open the door to squeeze another couple in, if those kind of things take place. So it's really wonderful. A voice out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved son. Are you desiring deeper fellowship with Jesus? Are you desiring that? Are you desiring deeper reality? Are you desiring to be transformed more into his image, to overcome your weaknesses and to be more Christ-like in your attitude, more Christ-like in your dealings with other people? If so, Jesus is showing us the way. It's the way of prayer. That's where you find these experiences that transform you, that prepare you, that the word can now speak to you. How very, very important it is. I put this one here. Without prayer, the hearing is of little worth. Somebody said that. Without prayer, the hearing of the word, because your ground is not prepared ground. Remember Jesus said when the sower went forth to sow and some of the seed was sown on the byway. It's on the hard ground. Now, the ground that hasn't been broken up, ground that's not ready, it's not fertile, not ready to receive the seed. The birds of the air came and took it and never even achieved anything. And we don't want any of our young people to go to the camp like that with your heart hard. And then the word comes and is preached and the devil, the birds of the air come, take it away. You leave the camp and nothing's happened inside of your life. Surely that's not God's desire. That's not your desire. That's none of our desire. But that definitely can happen if we're not prayerful coming into the camp, if we don't prepare our hearts through prayer. Without praying, the hearing is of little worth. Why? I put the thing that God is the Spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Not just truth, not just the word, but there's got to be the Spirit. And we need to pray so that we're in the Spirit. Then the word now can sink down deep and bring forth of its own kind. And God can achieve in our lives the very purpose that he's calling us to this camp. So don't let the devil rob you. That's how we're speaking of the power of preparation, how important preparation is, because you get what you expect. Yeah, and the more you prepare and prepare your heart, like a farmer preparing his fields before the rains come, and he gets rid of all of the weeds and all the clods and the rocks, and he plows up that ground, and he fertilizes it, gets it ready, plants the seed, then he waits for the rain to come. When the rain comes, he's going to get himself a great harvest. And if you're wanting a harvest inside of your life, a spiritual harvest at the end of the youth camp, you need to prepare your heart. No one else can do it for you. You've got to do it yourself. You know, you've got to spend time with the Lord in prayer. If you struggle with prayer, team up with others. Say, I'm struggling. Please, can we not pray together? And you find the Lord will really, really bless you. Jesus said, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. That's the word of God that can never fail. If you hunger and thirst for that which is right, if you hunger and thirst for a deeper walk, for a deeper spiritual experience with Christ, for this camp to be different than camps before, for you personally, Jesus says you shall be filled. God will respond whenever there's an earnestness in the hearts of his people. Okay, let's look at the next battleground. Jesus coming to Gethsemane now. Okay, now I think this one is a quiz, yes. What does it say? It says in Gethsemane, and being in an agony, he prayed more what? And his sweat was as a great drops of blood. He prayed more what? Was it loudly, powerfully, hopelessly, earnestly? What? How did he pray? He prayed more what? In the garden. Okay, he prayed more earnestly. That's what he did. Absolutely prayed more earnestly. That's the scripture that it tells us. Now, Ramam says in desperations, brother, sister, if Jesus had to pray earnestly, how much more have we got to pray earnestly? If Christ, the God of heaven made flesh, had to pray earnestly, then how much more are we sinners saved by grace to pray earnestly? You know, and Jesus, our great example, Jesus, our great kinsman, Jesus, our great big brother, showing us the way to overcome. He's the overcomer, showing us the way to overcome. When those seasons came that he needed to get into conflict, or he needed to go deeper in the things of the kingdom, make decisions, or, you know, go and do spiritual things, he would pray more earnestly. So saints, the call to arms, which I spoke of last week, the first call to arms is for each and every one of us to pray more earnestly before this camp. If you're not going to the camp, if you're a parent, what a wonderful thing to pray more earnestly for your children. And if you don't have children, you're not going to be at the camp. Pray earnestly for the young ones that are going to the camp, that the Lord may send down the glory cloud, that the Lord may overshadow, that the Lord may speak, that the Lord may allow people to break into heavenly places and experience the reality of what it is to really, really fellowship and commune with God, and for God to speak to you and respond back to you. We should really be praying more earnestly. That's how we need to prepare ourselves. And one good thing that's happening this week, all night prayer this Friday night at church after the prayer meeting, the saints arranging. So what a wonderful thing. If you're not able to be there, you can join on online. The saints always post a link. You know, saints, this is the last Friday before the camp. You know, you can rest nicely on Saturday. So why not join in the all night prayer, especially you young people? If you find it difficult to pray, join in when the other saints are praying. When the word is being read, to encourage, listen to a little bit of the message, get into prayer, put the prayer request, pray once again. Even if you can't make it all night, push as far as you possibly can. Jesus gave us the example to pray more earnestly. So that's the first We said, how did Jesus prepare himself for this great battle, for entering into this great conflict? The first one was prayer. He was very prayerful. So as we prepare ourselves for the camp, the very first thing we need to be is very, very prayerful. We need the Lord to help us on that. Now, the next one is Jesus was so much in the Word. Because you need to worship in spirit and in truth. So he was in the Word. You need the Word as well. We need to be in the Word. Between now and the camp, we need to really, really be in the Word. Matthew chapter 4, verse 3. And when the, please read the scriptures, because I'm going to ask you a question about these scriptures after. So pay attention. When the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. So he's trying to tempt him, you know, to use his gift, his calling for his own benefit rather than for the kingdom of God. And the answer is, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So here comes a question. Type in the answer. Which three words in the previous scriptures shows that Jesus was filled with the Word? Which three words? They were in a row, da-da-da. Which three words in that scripture shows that Jesus had really been in the Word, that he was filled with the Word? The previous scripture. It's okay. It's okay if you forgot it, guys. That previous scripture. Let's see what people say. Let's type in answers. Okay. It is written. Did you get it done? Good, sir. Okay, so that shows sense. Jesus getting into the conflict, he'd been prayerful. Heaven had responded. He was in the spirit now, but he was also filled with the Word. So when Satan came against him saying, turn the stones into bread, he could straight away come with exactly the right word and say, it is written. And friends, that's a powerful, that's the sword of the spirit when you get into the whole armor of God. The power of the word to overcome the devil. But you can never ever say it is written unless you've been reading and prayerfully meditating upon the word. So that word becomes real to you and becomes part, you're storing it away inside of your spiritual storehouse. And at the time that it's needed, the Holy Ghost brings it to your remembrance and quickens it. And it becomes a personal promise to you. It becomes the sword of the spirit, an offensive weapon to prevail against whatever it is that the devil is trying to do inside of your life. Now, I'm just going to put this on here. Okay, so if you want to get in the Word between now and the camp, get on your phone, get on the App Store, get on the Play Store, get on your whatever, you know, on the computer, get on the Voice of God website and download the table. Now, I just put some sample messages there that I'd recommend. Get into these messages before we get to the camp. The first one, how can I overcome? You know, that's where we're getting the thoughts from tonight. The prophet showing in that message how Jesus, the great overcomer, showed us how to overcome. So how can I overcome? The contest. These are great messages. The greatest battle ever fought. Very foundational message. Desperations. These are messages, friends, that are tremendous. Speaking about prayer, speaking about the token. Hear his voice. Now, preparing yourself to hear the voice of the Lord. If you don't know where to read in your Bible, if you don't know what to fellowship around, I want to just to put those on there for the young people especially to say, if you don't have anything to listen to, I'd recommend these other messages. Why not listen to these? It'll be a good starting point. Maybe the Lord from there will direct you into other things. And obviously, as you're listening to the message, it's the prophet's opening up the scriptures. That now helps you on your Bible reading. Now you're going to read those scriptures that he's speaking about. You meditate upon those things. And God now will store that word inside of your heart. Okay, we come into another scripture that you need to fill in a word. Are you ready for it? Quiz. Thy word have I what in my heart that I might not sin against thee? Thy word have I placed in my heart? Have I recited in my heart? Have I hid in my heart? Have I retained in my heart? What does the Bible say? Thy word have I what in my heart that I might not sin against thee? Thy word have I hid in my heart that I may not sin against thee. I know sometimes this is cutting it off at the bottom there, but the answer is, thy word have I hid in mine heart. Now, saints, ask yourself, especially young people, are you hiding the word of God inside of your heart? That's what David is saying. I'm hiding God's word. Jesus had the word hidden in his heart. And when Satan came to try to get him to compromise, try to get him to sin, the word was hidden in his heart and he never sinned. He prevailed and he overcame. So get in the word between now. Get in the spirit of the word and you find God will really, really bless you. That's the second line of preparation we need. We need to be in prayer and we need to be in the word. Very, very important. The final thing that Jesus was doing, you may not have picked it up, was when Jesus went into the wilderness, what did he do? He fasted for 40 nights, 40 days and 40 nights. That was his final great preparation before the great battle came, was he was fasting. Now, Jesus, when he speaks about fasting, I put the thing up the top there. Fasting is not just a physical discipline. It can be a spiritual feast. I mean, fasting can be a blessed thing if you do it the right way. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, moreover, when you fast. He didn't say if you fast. He said when you fast. So to Jesus, to the disciples, to the early church, fasting was a regular discipline that they committed themselves to. Brother Ram used to fast twice a week up to 3 o'clock in the afternoon, every week. I think it was a Monday and a Thursday or comment. That was, and that came from the Methodist days. John Wesley used to do that just to keep himself spiritually in tune, just to make sure, you know, that you're laying aside things, laying aside distractions, setting your affections upon the things of the Lord and focusing on him and getting yourself back in tune, getting yourself back in focus. Verse 18, Jesus said, that thou appear not to me. Okay. But fasting unto thy Father, which is in secret, and thy Father, which sees in secret, shall reward you openly. Now you ask about fasting. So look, I've never fasted before. Fasting can be done in different ways. You know, if you want to, if you're not so familiar, you're not so strong, you can fast like the prophet up to 3 o'clock in the afternoon. You know, miss breakfast, miss lunch. But the times of fasting, the days of fasting, days of consecration, the season that you commit to the Lord in fasting, are seasons where you separate yourself from anything unnecessary. And instead of eating, you'll be either be praying or you'll be in the word. You know, so what you're trying to do is you're trying to set your face to seek the Lord. Fasting without the word and without prayer has another name. You know what that name is? Dieting. You're just dieting. I mean, there's no spiritual any good. If you're just going to not eat and be on social media, watching junk on YouTube, chatting with your friends about the, you know, whatever things are happening in the neighborhood, that's not fasting. Fasting is separation. Fasting is humbling yourself. Fasting is setting your heart to seek the Lord. So you're separating yourself from anything unnecessary. And I put a picture here of Daniel when he set his face, Daniel chapter 10. And he didn't eat pleasant food for 21 days because he wanted to hear from the Lord. He was eating just plain food. That's another way of fasting. You can just eat very plain food for a length of time. And then Gabriel came down and said, then he said unto me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that you did set your heart to understand and to chasten yourself before thy God, thy words were heard and I've come for your words. So the moment, the very first day that he, in his heart, he said, I'm going to seek the Lord now until he answers me. And he laid aside, you know, all of the fancy foods and stuff, laid aside all his unnecessary things apart from business and spent all of his time either in prayer or in the word because he so much wanted to hear from God. Mm-hmm. From the moment that he made that decision in his heart, Gabriel says, God heard. There was a response and Gabriel now was sent. And what is fasting? Daniel's telling us there, you're setting your heart to understand. You're seeking something from the Lord. You're seeking to be in a better condition. You're seeking to hear from the Lord. Secondly, to chasten yourself, to humble yourself. And what? Your words will then be heard. So he was prayerful during his time of fasting. Now, take a break. On a day of fasting, friends, when you have your seasons of fasting, it's not fasting when you're on Instagram and you're checking all the latest memes, and it's not fasting when you're on YouTube and you're checking out, you know, Dude Perfect and stuff like that. I mean, that's not fasting. Fasting is you separate yourself from every distraction that you can. If you do it on a working day, you do your job. When it comes break time, you're in the Word, you're in prayer. When it comes lunchtime, you're in the Word, you're in prayer. You know, you stay away from vain conversation, from foolish talk, from joking around, and you set your heart to seek the Lord. And one of the greatest things our young people need to learn to fast from on a regular basis is social media, to show that you have control over these things and that these things don't have control over you. It's a very good discipline, like the prophet would do. It's several times a week, twice a week, whenever you want, just turn your phone off, put it aside and say, the next so many hours, this is dedicated to me and the Lord. I'm going to show that I don't have to be picking up my phone every 2 minutes to see if there's any new messages. We need to be fasting from these things. A time of fasting is not a true fast. If you're on Facebook seeing what all your buddies have been doing last weekend, I mean, those are distractions. And Satan is very good at distracting us. So we have fasting of food. You can fast from water, from drink, and also fasting from the entertainment, the pleasures, the distractions of this life. So you get yourself in focus. So you start setting your heart to understand, setting your heart to seek the Lord. It's a very, very important principle that the prophet speaking about Daniel in the message, Gabriel's instructions to Daniel, how Daniel set his face to seek the Lord when he read the prophecies of Jeremiah and realized the lateness of the hour. He said, and if Daniel, the prophet of the Lord, could consult Jeremiah's books, reading the word, and bring him to such a place that he fasted so dedicated, that would cause him to fast with sackcloth and ashes, how much more ought it to do to the church of the living God? To know that time is fading out and shall be no more. The coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, the great millennium ready to set in. We're in the shadows of the rapture, in the shadows of the tribulation period. We see the days of Lot, the days of Sodom all around us. We just see the darkness coming closer and closer. The prophet says, how much more should we also be consecrating ourselves like Daniel did to seek an understanding of what God expects of us at a time like that? He says, how can we spend wasted time gambling, swimming holes on Sundays, no time for the Lord? No, we don't want to be those kinds of people. We want to be people like Noah who walked with God. We want to be people like Enoch who walked with God. Enoch is the type of the bride. He walked with God and he had this testimony that he pleased God and he was not because God took him. That's a type of the rapture. But it needs a certain consecrated walk. And when you see too much distraction coming in, too much worldliness diluting your spiritual life, too many things coming through the screen and so forth, we need to lay it aside and fast for a season to get our spiritual focus, to get spiritually clothed, to get our hearts right once again so that we know we're sensitive, we're humble, and we're walking with the Lord. That's really what we want him to do. And to help, this Friday is a day of consecration. I hope you'll join in. Day of consecration, whatever way the Lord leads you to do it, finishing up with prayer meeting in the evening. But it's a day of fasting on Friday so that we can fast and pray and seek the face of the Lord for these youth meetings. Praying for the ministers, for Brother Daniel, for Brother Cheslin. Praying for the arrangements, praying for the young people that are coming. Because Satan always wants to come in at the last minute and you always have some people that don't come. We'd like to pray every single person in. Everyone that's booked, we pray they'll come in plus a few extra. That's really what we're desiring. So let's join ourselves together in prayer. And you young people, it's not for your mom and your dad to fast. It's not a family camp, it's a youth camp. The responsibility of consecrating ourselves to pray the blessing and the glory of God down upon this camp is upon every single person who's going to this camp. You know, so I think you have to have a very special reason, a very special call not to join in on the day of consecration. You may not be very good at fasting. Well, that's fine. You know, there's fasting, different kinds of fasting. You know, but at least join yourself in. Do something, you know, set your heart to seek the Lord. Start preparing yourself now inside of your mind. Say, Lord, please help me on Friday. I've determined to do it before, and I never really did it. When I woke up in the morning and my stomach grumbled a little bit, I was down there at the breakfast table like a flash. But Lord, I don't want it to be like that this time. Jesus, I see you fasted 40 days and nights so that you could prevail and overcome for me, so you could overcome the devil so that I could be saved. Oh, Lord, I want to set my face to seek you. Lord, I want to go a little bit extra this time. I want to pray a little bit more earnestly. I want to get a little bit deeper in the word and prepare myself. I want to consecrate myself as the saints unite themselves together with one heart, one accord, one purpose to seek the Lord's blessing on this camp from beginning to end. From the times the young people start traveling to the time they return home, we're looking to the Lord to bring a mighty blessing upon all that is said and all that is done. So the call to arms once again is to our young people on Friday, join us in the fasting. Even if you're only able to, like I say, to miss breakfast, that's okay. Some people can't go much further than that. Miss lunch, wonderful. Some people do the whole day, even better. But fast from your social media. Fast from your distractions. Fast from the unnecessary things. Let it be a time you get in the word. And that's why I put that link to the table. If you don't know what to listen to that day, download the table. Go and find your message there. You know, the desperations, listen to that. All the ones that I put, the greatest battle ever fought, how can I overcome? That's plenty of things to listen to. And that'll quicken you in your Bible reading. There's so much you can then read concerning those things in the scriptures. You will have plenty of spiritual material to pray and read and meditate on that day. If you just follow that, just the simplicity of what we're trying to say today. Now to finish off. Jesus was prayerful through his whole life, even on the cross. The very last words recorded by Jesus in his earthly life was a prayer. He said, Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. On the cross, he was praying, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Even when he was being judged, even when heaven had turned its back, he was so prayerful that even when heaven wasn't hearing, he was still praying. It was just so much inside. He's praying for his accusers. He's praying for those that have nailed him to the cross. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. His life was a life of prayer, friends. He was the great overcomer, and he's giving us the example. That's how he overcame. That's how he finished his course. That's how he became the great supreme blessing that he is to us. But it was not an easy life. He lived a disciplined life. He lived a life worthy of our emulation. He left footprints which are worthy for us to follow. His life began, his spiritual journey began with prayer when he was in the Jordan. The Holy Ghost came down while he was praying. His life ended while he was in prayer. At every other junction in his life, he was prayerful. Friends, the call to arms is a call to prayer. And fasting quickens you in your prayer if you do it the right way. Fasting gets your mind clear, your spiritual understanding. The word starts becoming more real and more rich and more deep than it was when you eat a whole plate full of chicken and rice and then you go and try to sit and read your Bible. You know, and you get dozy and stuff like that. You know, these are things which are very, very important if we want to prepare ourselves so that the Lord will come and bless us as we meet together at the camp. Couple of word clouds as we finish. So the last thing there, Jesus, having said this, he gave up the ghost. That's the last thing that he did on earth was he prayed. Okay, word cloud, one word and a comma. What are your expectations? What comes to your mind as you think of your expectations for this youth camp? Okay, 5 seconds there, saints. Got some answers coming in. Good. 15 answers, 16. Good. Okay, so what have we got here? Good expectations. I'm glad about that. The power of transformation. That's what we want. We want the power of transformation, the Holy Ghost, to be in the word that's preached. And then the power of transformation that's in the word to transform us inside of our hearts. Games. Oh, good. That's okay. Expectations for the camp is games. I pray the Lord will meet with your expectations in more than just games. To get closer to God, fellowship, Holy Ghost refilling, absolutely. A time to recharge the spiritual batteries, to get apart, set our faces to the Lord, and seek the Lord. Communication with God, yes, to connect with God, to get the Holy Spirit. Amen. May the Lord grant you your heart's desire. A closer walk, glory unto glory, yes, next to the next stage, higher and higher, the next stage in Jacob's ladder. Peace, fresh experience, wonderful. Fellowship with God, communion with God, to learn and apply. That's really what you want. But saints, for any of these things to be realized, apart from the games, we need to prepare ourselves spiritually for this camp. And God will never disappoint us, and God will never let us down. Now, the next one is going to ask you what topics you would like to see at the camp. I don't know. I'm not going to tell the ministers what to preach, but just for interest's sake, what topics would you like to be covered in this camp? It's a word cloud again. You can put a couple of words there if you desire. Okay, good. 16 answers there. How to overcome at the bottom there, spiritual growth, good. Like I say, if you're looking the topic of how to overcome, I would say go and listen to the message, how can I overcome, before you get to the camp, because it'll really help you tremendously. Spiritual growth, yes. To pray more earnestly, yes. But start now. Like we say, just start a minute of earnest prayer, 5 minutes earnest prayer, get up to 10 minutes of earnest prayer. And the Lord will then meet you when you get there. Woman's modesty, good. That's a good one. Holy Ghost refilling, absolutely. Resisting temptation, that's good. Go and listen to How Can I Overcome? Showing how Jesus overcame the threefold temptation of the devil. You'll find the answers in the Word. Social media, yes, social media is a big one. You can see it big there. This is one of the big, big distractions to a spiritual life. We all need to use social media, or most of us do. But we need to be disciplined. We need to know how to use it, not for it to use us. We need to show that we are the Lord and ruler of these things, that these things do not rule over us. But I can see some people have a problem with that, and may the Lord help us as we prepare and as we get to the camp to overcome that thing. Marriage, that's a big one. Yes, especially for the senior youth, that's a big one. We're thinking of having a couple of sessions in the afternoons and so forth. We speak about some of those things. We'll see how we get on. But let's pray about that. Games such as Pokemon. Yes, Pokemon. We know most of the names of the cards. There's Pokemon, the pocket monsters. Most of them are actual demonic names. They're names of actual demons and gods and so forth. So you don't want to be playing Pokemon if you're a believer. We've never allowed Pokemon in our house. We never will allow it. That's like Harry Potter. We'll never allow that. All the witchcraft and wizardry and all that kind of stuff. Video games, I think these things might not be covered at the camp, but these are things we could do in other Bible studies. To overcome, overcoming Babylon, yes, we need to overcome the condition of the day. And God, yes, God's going to be center of it all. We're going there. We want a Christ-centered camp. We want to be Christ-centered as young people when you get there. And saints, I'm just going to say it while we're at the camp, we're really going to be encouraging you at the camp to stay as much away from social media as you can while you're there. You know, we really are going to do that, because I really do understand how distracting these things can be. I was at the school just with Benjamin the other day for his new school, and they don't allow phones at the school. Yeah, they don't allow them. And the headmaster, very nice man, young guy, he's really made a very good thing at the school there. And he said, we've learned when you take the phones away at school, the children actually speak to each other. He says, it might sound funny. He says, the moment we put the phones at break time, they don't speak to each other anymore. And friends, we want fellowship while we're there. We want flesh and blood fellowship. We want to make new friends. We want to find people that can encourage us, and we can encourage them. We want to deepen our relationships. We're not going there that between the services, we're just all the time on social media. We'll have our little times during the day where you can be, go and check your messages and that. But saints, we don't want to be allowing the world to follow us while we're there. Let's really make this a real camp where we set our faces to seek the Lord. Okay, so God bless you, saints. That's the end of the Kahoot. Let's pray before we finish off. Thank you for all the contributions. They were very helpful. Father, we're looking to you, Lord. Father, after all of this, to pray that you'll meet every expectation of every one of our young people, Lord. Father, all the things that have been expressed there on Kahoot, be that to each and every one according to their desire. And give us wisdom, Lord, as we go. And grant us grace and grant us mercy in all the things that we do. Father, we thank you for this time. Now help us on each of these things, Lord. Father, let us not be forgetful hearers, that we hear these things today and we forget them tomorrow. But Lord, I just pray this word would quicken and work deep, Father, to bring a lasting effect, Lord, in the life of every person. That, Lord, it would just, you would just let the deep speak unto the deep, to call us, Lord, to a time of preparation, to call us to a different kind of approach than in times gone by. Because, Lord, you know, that's when the real blessing comes. And we know then we'll never be the same when we come from that camp. So bless each and every person. Them that haven't managed to join this evening, we pray for them as well. We pray, Father, your grace and mercy upon each and every one of your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen, saints. Any final thoughts, saints? Any final contributions before we finish off? Or do we just leave it at that? Anybody else would like to contribute something?
God bless you, Pastor.
Yes, Brother Clayton, God bless, bro.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I know many guys were quite good. My answers were not as good as some of the guys.
Yes.
Yeah, I just wanted to encourage those that still want to come to get in touch with us.
Amen.
Yeah.
Very good. Like I say, we do. Somebody actually said that to me today, and I said, tell them, yes, definitely they can come. No, we'll always squeeze the people in. The booking system still is open. We haven't closed it. You know, we thought we might close it, but you won't. So if somebody wants to come, if they quickly get on there, pay their deposit, put their name down, there's still, I think we have a couple more spaces we can squeeze in. The camp did give us a few extra. Brother Wilmer asked them the other day, and we know there always are people that book at the last minute. And this week we've seen a few at the last minute. So please feel free. Anything else, Brother Clayton? Thank you for that.
No, that's okay. Thank you, Pastor.
And saints, just to encourage you to join in on Friday to the day of consecration, to encourage also for the all-night prayer, you know, especially young people. If you've been struggling along, you're not so much prayerful, you want it to be, but it's difficult by yourself. What a blessing it is. God has given us prayerful people that are willing to sacrifice their time, their effort, join together with other saints and young ones in the church to pray, not just praying for themselves and for more money and better jobs, but praying for the spiritual blessing of the Lord upon the services, upon the worship, upon the camp, and for the various prayer requests that we have. May the Lord richly bless those saints as they gather. And let every one of us who can't be there, maybe everyone who's able to do it, let's join through Zoom and let's contribute to that. And I think the Lord will really bless us. What a great contribution. And let's keep the weekend services in prayer. You finish for us there, please, Brother Clayton, in prayer, and God bless you.
Our precious Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you for tonight's Bible study, Lord. It was very interesting and such a blessing, Lord. We continue to pray for the upcoming youth camp, Lord, that you help us, you lead us, Lord. We are just insufficient, Lord, but thou art sufficient. Lord, we humble ourselves before you because we know, Father, we have to submit ourselves to thy precious word. And Father, I pray that, Lord, you help our young people, Lord, as they prepare for the upcoming youth camp, Lord. May you bless the services on Friday. May you bless the all night. May you bless the prayer meeting. Lord, we pray also for the Sunday service that you bless it, Father, as we prepare for the youth camp. Lord, may you put us in the spirit of the camp and help us, Father, as we prepare. Praying, Father, that all the arrangements and all the travelings that are going to be done, you will protect us along the way, Father. We thank you as we commit everything now to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, brother. God bless you, saints. Keep us in prayer. We'll keep you in prayer until we meet. May the Lord be with you.
God bless you, saints. Bye-bye.
God bless.
God bless you. Shalom. Bye.
Yes, shalom. Shalom.
God bless you.
God bless.
Shalom.
Oh, God bless. Oh, bro. God bless.
God bless. Shalom. Bye.
Bye-bye, bro.
Bye.